Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, just picture this. Here's the bride and the groom. They're standing at the altar. They're holding hands, looking into each other's eyes. They are so young, so eager for the future. And then the pastor reads, "Love is patient, love is kind." It's such a familiar scene, isn't it? Perhaps today's epistle from 1 Corinthians was even read at your own wedding. If so, many have thought at the time that these words were specifically intended for married couples. You probably hoped that you would always have such a perfect love as St. Paul described. However, if you've been married for some time or know people who've been married for a while, you surely know that such perfect love is incredibly difficult to maintain. My counseling hours are from, just give me a call. Marriage, however, wasn't exactly what Paul was talking about when he wrote this text. The truth is, this text was really intended for perhaps the most dysfunctional and loveless congregation in the New Testament, the Corinthian congregation. They were a congregation full of sexual immorality, division, and lawsuits. Their division was made clear at the table when they could not even eat together, nor could they even have the Lord's Supper. They truly were a congregation that had forgotten what it meant to be loved by Christ and to love others. But this must not be the case for you. For St. Paul in our text has shown us a more excellent way. And this is the way. Christ's cross is the source of Christian love and life. Now, it's true that Paul's words set a really high standard, and I would dare to say a standard that none of us can keep. Anyone here boast that they have perfect love? Would anyone here say that you have never let your anger get the best of you or held a grudge? Would anyone here say you never lost your patience? Would anyone here say that you are completely selfless and not self-seeking? No way. To such things would be nothing but nonsense and lies. The truth is that there is but one who keeps such love, and that is, of course, Jesus Christ. And when we compare our love to his, we find that Christ's cross shows us how sinful you are, how self-centered and imperfect our love truly is. Indeed, it was on that cross where Jesus, who is love incarnate, bore all things and endured all things. It was Jesus who did not insist on his own way. And it was he who refused to resent those who sinned against him so greatly, but prayed, "Father, forgive them." It was Jesus who suffered long while disobedient and sinful people failed him again and again and again. It was Jesus who now on the cross chose to suffer for us, for those very same people that might be forgiven of their sins. It was Jesus who was without sin, but full of love. And indeed, we can never measure up, never, measure up to his love. We are ever only but a poor, maybe even dismal reflection of Christ's love. Christ came to love a loveless people. He did not love us because we were lovely, but rather because he is God. He is full of mercy. And this is seen no better way than on the cross. For Christ's cross does not only reveal our sinful love, but much more, his forgiving, perfect love. Christ laid down his life for his friends, indeed for you and for me. And in doing so, Jesus, the Son of God, showed once and for all that God is love. He showed his love by allowing his blood to be poured out as a sacrifice for all mankind, even those who hated him. He was crucified that we might be forgiven. Indeed, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus does not love his church because we are spotless and clean or without sin. He loves you so that he might make you, perfect without any spot or blemish, that you might be holy and blameless. The Corinthians were more concerned about external appearances than with this forgiveness. Some boasted of their gifts, others of their tongues, and others of their knowledge. Yet all these things, you see, will pass away. Indeed, every external gift you have in this life will pass away, but love will not. Because of the love of God has for you and for your brothers and sisters in Christ will always endure even into eternity. Hold this cross of Christ before your eyes. Hold it there, both to know that you are forgiven and loved, as well as to know how to love. This is the very same love Paul describes in our text. This passage really does speak of love between spouses, because it speaks of the love that all Christians ought to have for one another. It is the love that's given us to us that we might live it out daily in our lives. It is the love which forgives, even as it has been forgiven by Christ. It is a love that endures forever, for we will be with him forever, even as he is risen from the grave. Love we show now is greater. Love is greater because it causes us to look beyond ourselves, to our neighbors, our friends, and other relationships that form now with one another as Christians, and that will last into eternity. Love is a love which does not seek itself, but seeks the benefit of others. Those who have this love know they have already died with Christ in baptism and will be raised with him on the last day. It is a love which has been formed by Christ's cross, so to forgive others. It is the love of Christ, poured into our hearts at holy baptism, which is given to us in our baptism. It's Christ's love. It is our love as well. Amen. May God grant that we always keep this love for God and for one another. Amen.